This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Hundreds of thousands of American military members were exposed to nuclear weapons tests between the 1940s and the 1990s. These so-called atomic veterans were not allowed to talk about their participation in the tests until the mid-90s. That's when the Nuclear Radiation and Secrecy Agreements laws were repealed. So now those veterans will be offered a certificate for their contribution. And some say a piece of paper isn't enough, especially considering the health impact that comes with exposure, like cancer, infertility, and nerve disease. Stephanie Colombini is a military and veterans reporter with WUSF in Tampa, Florida. She's also part of WUNC's American Homefront Project and has been reporting on the story. Stephanie, welcome to the State of Things.
Thank you.
Tell us more about this. I mean, who are these atomic veterans and where were they when this testing was going on?
Sure. So the bulk of these weapons tests that the atomic veterans participated in were post-World War II, 1950s, 1960s, and there were a lot done in Nevada. There was the Nevada test site out in the desert where tons of atomic bombs were tested there. And then the Pacific in the Marshall Islands area, there was a number of tests done there. And so these veterans, you know, at the time, most of them were involved in pretty ordinary roles in terms of just kind of helping facilitate these tests, observing, but they were exposed to harmful amounts of radiation. And so at the time, they didn't realize the sacrifice that they were making until years later when, you know, many of them started to experience the health effects.
And give us a sense of what this might have looked like on the ground. I mean, let's just start with Nevada, for instance, at those test sites there. What would it have looked like, and how would these personnel been engaged? How close would they have been to the actual test?
Sure. Closer than, you know, anyone would think would be safe. But at the time, no one really understood this. So guys were in trenches out in the desert, maybe 3 to 5 miles away from the explosions. So, I mean, you can imagine being that close to a bomb going off. And, you know, men described that if they peeked, you know, the light was so bright, they could see the bones in their hands, the veins in their eyeballs. You could, you know, dust off kind of radiated debris that was falling down on your uniform. So really close. Out on the Pacific, a lot of the tests were done over the water, but we're still talking about, you know, 10 miles away. A veteran I spoke with described watching from the island just in awe at the clouds forming above their heads and wiping off the radiated debris from his uniform.
And that was during the test. And of course, in the Pacific, there was some effort to clean up years afterward, but still not a safe enough time distance, right?
Right. And those gentlemen involved in the cleanup effort are not even classified as atomic veterans. They identify as atomic veterans, but the government does not even recognize those veterans as of now. That's another effort going on in Congress because they believe they were, you know, the radiation levels were still extremely harmful at that time.
Well, let's talk about some of the health issues then some of these veterans have experienced.
Sure. It's certainly a range. You know, there are men that were lucky enough not to really get sick, but then there are others that had terrible cancers. Birth, you know, their children had birth defects, if they were able to have children, some were infertile, nerve diseases. The widow I covered in my story, her husband had just dozens and dozens of skin cancers over the course of several decades that, you know, every few months he was having to get another lesion removed. And he also had a debilitating nerve disease that, you know, slowly, you know, he ended up being forced to live in a wheelchair because first he lost use of his legs and then it was kind of his shoulders and upper arms. So terrible health problems.
Well, let's talk. You talked to a number of veterans and their widows and the people who survived them. Let's listen to Air Force veteran Tom Bocci. He's 84 years old.
You're a young kid, you know, you're out there and say, wow, look what they're doing. Look at this, you know. I had no concept, and they never told us, you know, the radiation, the after effects or anything. We were not allowed to even tell anybody that we were there or what we saw or anything. So we had, everything was just quiet. Nobody talked about it for many years. So then when they did release it and declassify it, that's when we started looking into what we observed and what we actually were part of.
84-year-old Air Force veteran Tom Bocci. He talked with my guest, Stephanie Colombini, who is a military and veterans reporter at WUSF and part of the American Homefront Project here at WUNC. So that brings us to this part of the story, what Tom was talking about. We didn't know then. We know now. We'd like some recognition. And the Department of Defense says, okay, here's a certificate. How's everybody feeling about that?
Pretty underwhelmed is the polite term. You know, some are downright furious. So, and the kind of "we" that Tom was referring to is the National Association of Atomic Veterans, which formed actually before the secrecy statutes were released. They kind of broke the law, essentially, and formed kind of underground, but then really have gotten bigger and more organized in the last couple decades. But this group has been pushing for years to get a service medal. And so this certificate sort of resulted as the compromise, and most people aren't really satisfied. You know, Tom Bocci said for him, the recognition is enough. He wants a medal, but if they're going to get a certificate, you know, he applied, he wants one. He's proud of what he did. But others, like one of the widows I spoke with, said it's an insult. You know, it's kind of like this slap in the face that they've gone through the sacrifice and they can't even get a medal.
Well, that's Army widow Judith Frederick, and her husband Walter was involved in nuclear tests in Nevada in 1955. Let's listen to what she has to say.
I think the medal for their children, their grandchildren, and for history would at least call attention to this and to the guinea pigs, the heroes that these men really were. These men lived under a cloud of fear all their lives. When am I going to get the terminal cancer? When are my children going to have birth defects? They had to live like that from the time they were 20-something till the time they died.
Judith Frederick, a widow of Army veteran Walter Frederick, involved in nuclear tests. And I'm speaking with Stephanie Colombini, a reporter with WUNC's American Homefront Project. You know, it's interesting to hear that. She said that everybody lived with that fear. I mean, on the one hand, everybody's saying, yeah, they didn't tell us. Nobody knew the dangers of radiation. They knew, didn't they? Didn't we all know in 1955? That's dangerous stuff. That's why we're using this bomb, isn't it?
Right. I think there was that kind of, you know, Tom was a little more like, oh my gosh, I'm out on this tropical island. You know, this is cool, you know, young 20-year-old. But then Judith talked about her husband, Walter, him and his buddies when they were in Nevada actually had gotten a hold of one of the radiation detectors, which were used on all the service members kind of every day after a test to see, you know, if there were dangerous levels on their bodies. And usually they were just told to go take a shower or something. But when her husband, Walter, had gotten a hold of one of these detectors and saw just how high, you know, through the roof, maxed out, he was terrified. And you know, he came home and was just looking, you know, did his own research and really became scared about what might happen. And, you know, he was terrified during her pregnancy that her, you know, their kids would get sick. Luckily, they had two healthy daughters. But it is, you know, she said that a lot of the times he would say he wished he had just gotten shot, because either it would have been, you know, done and over with, or he would have gotten, you know, surgery. But this kind of long-term fear of what might come next was really tough on him and their whole family.
Well, this brings us to what might be an even bigger question right now, a debate over whether, you know, there should be a medal and whether the certificate is enough. But what about medical cost? How has that gone? How has the Department of Defense been in terms of paying the medical costs for people who have been diagnosed?
Yeah, it's, you know, the government is definitely offering compensation for certain people. The VA for years has offered compensation. They have a very strict list, though, of, you know, not only who is a atomic veteran and then what conditions will they cover. And it's pretty much all cancers. You know, there's not really a lot of other health conditions, a few exceptions like Walter Frederick's nerve disease they eventually got compensation for. But it's not easy. I mean, you're applying over and over again, submitting all sorts of paperwork to prove these things, which it's difficult to prove. So, you know, it's not like you just say, okay, I served there and now I'm sick, can I have some money. It's like a battle. And, you know, Walter Frederick fought for years. And, you know, he wrote letters. I mentioned in my story, you know, he just got so angry and bitter at the government as he fought for this compensation that, you know, he signed a letter saying, "Yours truly, guinea pig," because that's how they felt. And so not everyone has been fortunate to get compensation, but the government does offer it. And there's also the Justice Department has its own process for kind of issuing a one-time payment of, yeah, we did this, don't sue us.
Well, back to the question of the medal. I know Massachusetts Democratic Congressman Jim McGovern is fighting for this. Let's hear what he has to say about the medal versus the certificate.
Look, a certificate is not a medal. And the bottom line is, if we are respecting the service of our atomic veterans, if we are grateful for their service, they deserve not a runner-up prize. I mean, they deserve a medal like we have provided to many other veterans who have served our country.
Massachusetts Democratic Congressman Jim McGovern pushed for language in a House defense spending bill to create an atomic veteran service medal. Talking to Stephanie Colombini, a reporter for WNC's American Homefront Project. So in the 20 seconds I've given you, how close are we? Is it going to see the light of day?
Well, you know, it once again passed in the House defense spending bill, but it's not in the Senate language. So, you know, every year previously, it has failed in the final version. When they reconvene in September, a committee will kind of be hashing out the House and Senate bills and forming one. I don't expect it to make it through because it hasn't in the past. And this certificate program came about in last year's spending bill. So, you know, I don't see it because they've already created this program. Why would this change? But obviously, you know, hopefully now that there's been more attention, maybe something will happen and maybe this is the year.
Stephanie Colombini is a military and veterans reporter for WUSF in Florida, part of WUNC's American Homefront Project. Stephanie, thank you so much.
Sure, thanks.
You can find links to her work at our website, stateofthings.org. And we're looking at a proposed funding crisis for pregnancy centers and the controversy around them. We'll talk about it on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.